Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Matthew chapter 16, if you want to turn there, we'll read a few verses of scripture and we'll get started today. So thankful to the Lord. After service, the next service today, there will be a Move the Mission fundraiser. They've got some different lemonades for sale, jars of honey from the Harrell Farm. So it's local honey. I think they harvested about 90 gallons this time, and so they've got plenty of honey to sell, so it's great. So get you some of that, and that will be after the 11 o'clock service today. Matthew 16 and 21, Jesus speaking of him. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And for a few moments this morning, I want to talk to us just on this thought, all that matters, all that matters. Let's pray together for the teaching of the word. Lord, thank you for your word, for the instruction and faith that it births in our life. Let us hear what the Spirit would say today, and Father, help me to say words that would touch and help and encourage us today. Lord, use me for your glory. God, I thank you for that today. Let us, Lord, receive this word in good ground. Let it challenge us and change us, make us better for the kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands one more time to the Lord before you're seated today? Aren't you thankful for the word of God? Thankful for the word. God bless you. Thank you for being in his house this morning. Thankful for the word. That's something that matters very much, is that word. The instruction that it gives, you know, the different descriptions of that in Scripture, is his word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. The entrance of his word gives light. And Jesus said, my words are life. You know, I'm thankful for the word. Because trying to navigate this world, it's good to have a book with the answers. You know, I remember one year in high school, one of the books that they gave us in a science class, and our quizzes would be in that back chapter of the book. You know, you'd have to go over it, and that was nothing new about that, except this time these books had an answer key in the very back of the book. And I don't think the teachers realized that at first. And so everybody was making hundreds on the test. Got some smart kids, but we knew where the answers were. So it benefited us. But I'm thankful that I know where the answers are. They're in this book. But a lot of people think if they buy a Bible and put it in their house that, well, now I've got the answers, but you'll never find them. You'll never realize the benefit of the answers because you got to open it and get in that book and listen and hear what is being said. And this was something that was happening right here as Jesus began to talk to his closest disciples at this point, the 12. He was telling them things that he was going to have to go through, things that he was going to have to deal with. And it just didn't register with them. You know, when Peter rebukes him, he's not being ugly to the Lord. He just does not want to see this happen. He loves God, but you know, there's a lot of things maybe we don't understand that Jesus speaks into our life, but he's telling us things that have to happen. And so we have to learn to trust him and trust his word. And when we follow Jesus, that's what matters most of all. All that matters in this life is that I keep my eyes on him. All that matters in this life is that I keep my ears open to his word, that I keep my heart searching after his word. That's what matters most of all. Really, that's all that matters. There are things that we have to do in life to live in this world, and I understand that. But at the end of the day, I want to receive the end of my faith, and the scripture says, which is the saving of my soul. And following him means listening to him. Following him means he's the Lord. When I follow him, that means I do what he says. I don't argue with what he says and go my own way and think that I can do it better, but I learn to listen and trust him. You know, Peter should have known this lesson already, because one night after he had spent a whole night toiling in his craft. He was a fisherman. He had come up empty-handed. But the Lord told him, said, well, launch out and throw your net off on the right side of the boat. And Peter tells him, we have fished all night and nothing has happened, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll let it down. And he didn't really know what Jesus could do at that point, but Jesus was telling him and showing him and teaching him that if you will be willing and obedient, he was reminding him of a principle from back in the Old Testament. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And when he cast that net at your word, even though I know I'm a fisherman and I know what I'm doing and I've done this all night and nothing happened, there's no fish out there. But the one that made them knew they were out there. And he said, just do what I ask. And Peter did that. And of course, we know that's the draught of fishes that they could barely put in the boat starting to sink and nets breaking and things like that. And Peter realizes, you know, this is the Lord. And you would think maybe Peter would remember this during this conversation. If he says something that I'm sure shouldn't happen, maybe I should just listen. But Peter was always quick to act, didn't think first. He usually would act before he would think, cutting off people's ears, things like that. But maybe it was this new name he has. You're a rock. I'm going to call you Cephas. You're a rock. And you've got this revelation, because we know just a little bit before this that he's got this revelation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord tells him, well, flesh and blood didn't teach you this, but God has revealed this to you. And he's telling him, and on this rock I'll build my church. And, you know, Peter's just thinking, I mean, I aced that test. You know, he's like, I've got it now. He's got the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't even know what that means. It's just what Jesus said. And he loves that. And he's hanging on that word. And maybe he thinks that somehow with this new thing that Jesus has spoken over me, maybe I've got some kind of authority to just change what the Lord spoke. But he doesn't. We must follow him and follow his word, and trust his word. He tells him, he says, Peter, get behind me, Satan. For you love the things of men and not the things of God. You have a gift from God, Peter, but you are unconcerned with the things of God. You have an anointing from God, but you don't know how to listen to the Word of God. And we must, once we come to Him and we begin to follow Him, we must have a change of focus. Our priorities must shift. Our desires must now be toward the things of God. When we become new creatures in Christ, old things pass away. Why do we seem to look back fondly at a life that was dragging us to hell? Why do we want to remember fondly things that we knew God died to save us from? Our priorities must shift and our desires must shift, and we must realize that all that matters is that I am keeping my eyes on Him. I am looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. That I have learned that in this world that there is nothing worth losing out with Him. I wish some young people could hear what I'm saying today, that you could benefit. You know, this is something that we all a lot of times miss as young people. I did. Well, we could benefit from the wisdom of those that have come before us. We could miss a lot of heartache and pain if we had just listened to some of the people that came before us. But you're young, and you know it all, and you're full of life, you're bulletproof, you can do what you want to do, you'll make it, it'll be, and a lot of us, you know, and thank God that we get back to God's house, and thank God that we, for that mercy and grace that saves us, but then you still have to fight the battle in your mind, the condemnation in your own mind that I can't believe I did that. I should have just listened. I wish I had been better. You have to just fight those things. You give ammunition to the accuser, because you can have your best day in God's house, your best day for the kingdom, and lay down at night. He goes, yeah, you had a good day today, but remember a year ago? And you've got to battle that shame and all those things that you did and you went through. Oh, it would be so much easier if when we were young people that we realized all that matters is following Him. All that matters is listening to His Word and living by His Word. And people say, well, that's kind of fanatical. Then let it be fanatical. We need to be training up our children in the way that they should go. And we need to be telling young people that there's still nothing in the world that's going to benefit you. There's still nothing in that life that's going to make you better. All that matters at the end of the day, let me tell you, all that will matter at the end is, will you hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Will you hear, well done? When He comes, will He find faith in your life? When it's time for you to maybe close your eyes on this earth, to step through that door into the next life, you'll realize that all that matters, am I right with Him? When you're coming to the end of your days and time is getting short, friend, let me tell you, relationships and money in the bank and those kind of things, that's not what's going to matter. That's not the things you'll be thinking of. Am I ready to meet the Lord? Am I ready to see Him? Am I ready to hear Him say, well done? Did I do all that I could do? I think that's why Paul could say with confidence, he said, I am now ready to be offered. He talked about his failings, his shortcomings. I'm the least of the apostles, the chief of sinners. You know, I shouldn't even be called an apostle, but here I am. God called me, and it was a privilege that He called me to preach this gospel and to minister this gospel. And He says, and because I knew who I was, I labored more than all of them. I was zealous for God when I didn't even know who He was. I was zealous for Him and for the traditions of my fathers and would do everything. And I was persecuting the church, persecuting the Lord. But when I found out how wrong I had been in that, then I decided that I'm going to give it everything I've got. I'm going to forget those things that are behind me, and I'm going to reach forth to the things that are before me. And at the end of the day, he didn't have to say, I wonder. He said, I am now ready to be offered. I have spared nothing. I did not spare telling you the truth. I preached the gospel unto you. I told you what you needed to hear, and my hands will be clean, and my conscience will be clear, because I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And he realized that all that matters, he said, the things that I could say were gained to me, I count them loss. He said, I have suffered the loss of all things, but that don't matter, because I'm trying to win Christ. And friend, we should not let our pursuit of a relationship cause us to miss out on God. There's nothing wrong with relationships. I thank God for mine. I love my wife, and I thank God that I've got somebody. But let me tell you, she would tell you as well as anybody else that is serving God, there ain't nothing that you want to put in front of your relationship with God. We made that decision when we were dating. We dated about this long, and then we were engaged. So it kind of overlapped. I don't know. At some point before we were married, we said to each other, I better never be number one in your life. I better be number two, but he should always be number one. Don't put me before your walk with God. Don't do that. And because all that matters is one day we will close our eyes in this life. And one day we're going to hear that voice calling us and catching us away. And I want to make sure, because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And in that day, all that will matter is, did I follow him? Did I listen to him? And did I listen to the instruction that was in my life? God put ministers in my life, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to perfect me. Did I listen to them, or did I shrug them off? Paul instructed his son in the Lord. He said, hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me. Oh, you know, sometimes people, you try to tell them what's best for them. They think you're just trying to put me under your thumb, and it's so far from the truth. Let me tell you, I don't like to micromanage. I don't want to be involved no more than I have to be. You know, I don't need nobody under my thumb. I want to work together with people and serve God together with people. And man, if everybody would just do what the Word of God says, my job would be so much easier. I'd never answer the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning again, you know. You know, my pastor would probably say the same thing about me. But I'm telling you that all that matters is him. And I don't want to think now, because I've got this treasure in an earthen vessel, that I can circumvent the serious things that God is talking about, wanting me to hear. Well, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. That's good. That don't exclude you from obeying the Word of God. I've been baptized in his name. I have too, but that doesn't exclude me from obeying the Word of God. Well, God loves me. Sure he does. Loves everybody. Loves that dude right now somewhere. There's a guy passed out with a needle in his arm, and God loves him. But his love will never cancel out his Word. His grace will never cancel out his Word. His mercy will never cancel out his Word. It will only enforce his Word. And so I don't want to try to take these wonderful blessings that God has given to mankind, mercy and grace and love, and weave it into an excuse that I can do what I want to do. All that matters is serving him. All that matters is that I am staying on the right path. He didn't call me just to belief. He called me to follow him. He didn't call me to just see miracles. He called me to follow him. Follow me and I will make you. You can believe and not let him make anything out of your life. But he said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And that doesn't just mean you're going through an action that's very robotic. He's like, to make you a fisher of men, I'm going to have to change your heart. I'm going to have to change your mind. I'm going to have to change your view. We see it all through the scripture. Lord, you want us to call fire out of heaven and burn them people up? You want us to fish for? You don't even know what spirit you're of. No, I don't want you to do that. The law said, stoner, what do you say? And they had to watch, listen to his words. If this man really was a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman that was touching him. Hey, Simon, I got a question for you. Over and over again, he showed them, you're going to change the way you view people. Passion is going to rise up in you that you didn't know was possible in your flesh. You're going to have the kind of compassion and passion that I have for people. You're going to see people not as refuse and as trash, but you're going to see them as a soul that I gave my life for. So when I tell you you're going to be fishers of men, I'm not just teaching you. You teach a kid how to fish, first thing you do is like, I got to show them the mechanics of it. And they think they're fishing. Oh, no. Becoming a fisherman, you learn how to read the water, the time of day, where they'll be at. Should I throw it there? What lure is working best? There's a whole lot of things and knowledge that you got to have to be a fisherman. Anybody can pick up a rod and go, whoo. You know where that gets you? In the trees, in the bushes. You ain't catching nothing but limbs. You're catching limbs and losing lures. But when you let somebody teach you, but you're so anxious to catch a fish, I got it, hang on. Oh, can we drive over there? Because my lure's hung up again. Yeah, and that's what God's telling you. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to teach you how, because every person that you come in contact with will be different. You're going to go places where they don't look like you. They've done things that you can't even imagine people even do, and you're going to have to know how to minister in every situation. You're going to have to know how to fish in every pond. Sometimes it's going to be a roaring stream. Sometimes it's going to be a pond full of things under the surface that you can't see. And you got to know how to get through all that so you can get to them, to catch them. And that's what he was telling them. I'm not just going to teach you the mechanics. Follow me. They know how to walk. They know how to look at a person and walk in the same direction the person is going. Follow me means listen to my word. All that matters is what is he saying to me on this walk. All that matters is, am I keeping my eyes on him? Am I listening to the things that he wants me to listen to? Am I hearing his voice? He said, my sheep know my voice. They just don't see me, but they know my voice. They can hear me. And they trust me. I remember Brother Eberhard, he gave a little illustration with that one time. He said that he saw a pasture where there were some sheep out in a field. They were grazing 50 yards off the fence line. So when he said, I walked over to the fence and called to them. He said they didn't pick their head up off the grass. And said, the man that owned them sheep come over there and stood beside me. And he called them sheep, and they popped their head up. And he called them again, and they all started coming to the fence. They knew his voice. And what I love is that they didn't even lift their head. Oh, I wish we could get that. I'm not going to get distracted by all the things calling at me in this world. I know his voice, and so unless it's his voice, I'm not paying it any attention. I'm just not going to listen to it, and it's going to save me a lot of distraction and a lot of heartache if I could just hear the voice of God. All that matters is him, his mission. He's going to change us. Somebody, me and a couple of others were having this discussion the other day. And I said, I know there's not two different kind of Holy Ghost. I said, the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost, it's the Spirit. I said, but I wonder where the passion to follow him has gone. Where is that zeal to just be caught up in the middle of his glory and to hear what he would say? You know, the gift is more wonderful than any gift on earth. But he did not desire us to stop at the gift. You know, we know that. But he never told us, this gift that I'm going to put in you is so wonderful that don't worry about nothing else. I don't want to make an idol out of the gift and then never move past that. I don't ever take this for granted, this new birth. But I can't stop at the new birth and not follow him. Because you could be born again and never reach a soul, never preach a sermon, never let your light shine. Yeah, never share your testimony. But I'll tell you, something happened in my life when he got me. Something changed. It wasn't just, it wasn't just this, all right, man, that's great. I'm going on to do my thing. Something changed in me. He put a new heart in me. He took out the heart of stone and he put in a heart of flesh. A flesh that could be good ground where his word could find root and it could grow and I could hide it in my heart and it would be a heartbeat after God. And I didn't care about what people thought about my conversion because I knew how real it was. I felt the love of God. I felt the mercy of God. And it didn't make me want to just run off and go back and do my own thing. It made me want to follow him. I began to read that word and over and over and over, just read through it. I read the New Testament probably two or three times in 1 week, just reading through it. Over and over, trying to get all of it. Because I know I missed something. I'd read it, and it didn't get old, and it didn't get boring. It just fed me every time I opened the book, and I could not wait to tell somebody else about what I had. All that mattered was that I was following him. All that mattered. Yes, I had responsibilities in this world, but none of them trumped my walk with God. I had to follow him if I was going to be made into the thing he wanted me to be. If I had not, I would not be here today. If I had not listened to him, and I'm not patting myself on the back for that, I'm just telling you, I know what it takes. At this point in my life, I have seen enough people come and go. There's always the one common denominator. Those that go never really wanted it. Those that go were never really following it. Those that fall away never listened to the voice. Because once you hear that voice, the other voices, they just die out. Because, hallelujah, the voice of the Lord, you read the scripture, it'll talk about it brings things to birth. It brings things to life. It can break things open. At his voice, at his word, let there be light. And it was light. You know, and he just spoke things into existence. And when you realize how powerful the voice of God is in your life, everything else, it doesn't matter. It just becomes white noise off somewhere, just mumbling and chatter that doesn't affect you. When you realize that all that matters. And he's talking to his disciples because Jesus knows. You think, man, 3 years to walk with him. He knew 3 years is a short time. 3 years is a short time for me to get them where I need them to be. And they won't quite be there when I go. But I'm going to have to remind them of some things and their faith is going to carry them on to Jerusalem. And then they're going to be filled with the Spirit. They're going to receive the promise and he's going to continue to lead them. So they'll have to still be following. They were filled with a gift, but he said, it's a gift that you have to follow. You don't lead the Spirit leads you. And so we must change our focus when we come to God. Old things have to pass away, and we have to let new things. He said, all things are made new, and then he says, all things are of God. The all things come from God. The all that matter things come from God. Don't let something that doesn't matter cause you to lose something that does matter. Yeah? Don't let temporal things cause you to lose eternal things. Yeah. It's this satisfying of the flesh is deadly. And it's a death sentence to your walk with God. If you give yourself to the flesh, it will wear you out. Because the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we have to bring our body and our flesh under subjection. We have to destroy that flesh. We have to destroy it, mortify it through the Spirit. John said this. I know time is getting away from him, but John said this, and this is one of these scriptures that people say, oh, this is that stuff from hard preaching days, and we don't like these scriptures that are so cut, dry, and absolute, but they are His Word, and they are for us and for our benefit. And John wrote this, 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Oh, that's old-timey doctrine, Pastor. That's old-timey stuff. But he said it for a reason. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because you're not of the world. If any man loved the world, any man, card-carrying, pastor, I don't care, evangelist, apostle, who you are, but if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, all the stuff that we see, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Look, he's talking, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's humanity. Your biggest enemy is going to be this carcass. this brain. The carnal mind is enmity with God. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. The world feeds pride and lust of the flesh and those kind of things. And so he said, don't do it. Stay away from that stuff. And the world will pass away. And the lust for it will pass away. But he that does the will of God abides forever. But you can't do the will of God if you can't hear the voice of God. If you can't follow God. If you're not following him, you're not going to do his will. If you're not in his word. When you realize all that matters is following him, it's not hard to recognize the will of God for your life. Love not the world. The goal is to abide forever someday. It is to finish the race. We've got to do that. And this is what the Lord is telling them. When John writes scriptures like this, he didn't just make it up. He's taking these from lessons that he heard Jesus talk about. In our opening text, Jesus said this in verse 24, in Matthew 16:24. If any man, here's this any man again, will come after me, then he has to deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. The word lose, that word lose, I mean, oh, where'd that go? The word lose there is an intentional word, and it means to destroy fully. In the Greek, it means destroy fully. So he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall destroy it fully. But whosoever will destroy his life fully for my sake shall find it. You got to get rid of that stuff. You can't carry that old stuff with you. You can't hang on to that old stuff. You've got to get rid of it. We've got to get rid of those things. We cannot hold on to those things that are temporal, that were from a past life. We've got to get past those things and live the life for God. We think, well, if I leave all this behind, what will I have? If we would leave it behind, we'll see what we'll have. But we'll never see everything God's got for us as long as we're holding on to those things. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 16, know you not that to whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Don't yield. Don't yield. Keep following Jesus. He said, because you can yield yourself to sin unto death, or you can yield to obedience, which is unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. I don't get caught up in doctrine. I had a guy tell me one time, I said, I just believe the Lord. I don't get caught up in doctrine. The whole book is doctrine. I mean, come on. So, but that's that easy believism that the world has today. And he said, I'm thanking God because you obeyed from your heart the doctrine that was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When you were made free from sin, you began to serve righteousness. We want to get away. We want to make sure that we are following Him and not holding on to this old life, seeking my own way, because He is the only way. And if I am not following Him, then I am out of the way. If I'm not following Him, I'm going the wrong way, or I have lost my way. I want to follow Him. We will never have the life or find the life that Jesus intends for us to have if we're looking somewhere else. We are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. We are running this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when we lose that old life, we find the new life, the complete life, the perfect life. That's what I want. The old will not work with the new. If you go back to Matthew, I'm watching the clock, don't worry. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 16, in Matthew 9 and 16, He said, no man puts a piece of new cloth on an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up takes away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. In other words, you got an old shirt with a hole in it, and you take a new piece of cloth and sew into it. It's not, the old cloth is not strong enough for the stitches, and when you move, it's just going to tear and make it worse. The new won't work with the old. He said, and you don't put new wine in old bottles, or the bottles will break and the wine will run out and the bottles perish. But put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved. The old won't work with the new. It destroys both every time. And I've seen it happen in church. I've pastored people. I've watched it happen in people's lives. Regrettably, I've watched them try to hang on to their past, hold on to old ways, try to integrate it into this new life, and it never works. You know how I know it never works? Because they're not here. The rent is made worse. The separation is made worse. Jesus said that you would be seven times worse after the house has been cleansed. Yeah. If people could just listen to experience. Well, I don't know everything, but I know what I know. And I could save some people, some young people, a lot of heartache if they would listen up and listen to these things. Not because, again, that I'm some know-it-all and the wisest man in the world, but I am the pastor of this church, and God put me here for a reason, to be a watchman and to when I see things, to call it out. And so I'm going to call it out, because I'm not going to have the Lord say, why did you hold your peace? I don't want that. People realize sometimes the heaviness sometimes of the job to preach when you love people and you have to weigh in everything and you're trying to tell them how to get to heaven and you're doing it with all the love you can muster, and then they keep going. And so, you know, it's just like a child when they're little. At first, you're like, hey, don't do that. Okay, come on now. And finally, you have to pop them. And they wonder, do you still love them? But you do, and you pick them up. You love them, and say, now, I love you, but I told you, and I told you, and I told you. I was very nice, very sweet, very good, and you just kept on, and that's why you got popped. And nobody wants a pop from pastor. I don't want to pop nobody. Well, sometimes I want to pop somebody. I ain't gonna lie. But then I repent. But it would be a love pop. Because I love you. I want you to just hear what I'm saying. I want people to just hear me and understand I'm only saying what God's saying. I'm not making up my own thing. But finally, when I have to just sit you down and look you in the face and say, stop doing what you're doing. You're ruining your life. Pastor, so mean. Fine. You won't see me again. You think nobody would do that. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. Walk right out on you just because you told them what they needed to hear. All that matters is listening to the voice of the Lord. Y'all can come to the music this morning. Stand with me this morning. Paul. You know, I've seen memes that people said, man, if Paul was around today, we'd be getting a letter. But, you know, if Paul was around today, there'd be people that wouldn't listen to him. Paul, you know what they'd say to him? He's off his mark. Paul's lost his anointing. He told the church at Galatia, he said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by your flesh? Perfect is not measured by all that you have, but it's measured by the one that matters most. Him, and we are complete in him. And I said it earlier in Colossians, he wrote, he said, and you are completed in him who is the head of all principality and power. But we do fall, but we have what it takes to get up. When I fall, I shall arise. If I find myself where I can't get up, then that lets me know I'm lacking somewhere because he gave me getting up power. Through Christ, I can do all things. So I want to listen to him. I want to listen to the Spirit because John 6:63 says, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. His word is spirit. He was the word made flesh that dwelt among us. So I want to listen to him. That's all that matters. All that matters is at the end of the day, at the end of time, will he say, well done? But I've heard it said many times, and I can't even attribute to whoever said it first. I heard Sister Mangan say it, but I don't know who said it before her. But she said, he will not say, well done, if I have not done well. And that's something to think about. So do, and when you do your best, you're doing well. Don't think, oh, I made a mistake, so I'm not doing well. If you got up, you're doing well. You kept going, you're doing well. Doing well doesn't mean never making a mistake, never tripping up, never slipping up. It'll happen. With flesh, it happens. But getting up walking with Him, following Him, listening to that word, listening to the voice of God. That's all that matters. That's what matters most.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.